All right, well, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue, and I'll just remind you guys that attorney Stan McDonald at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee out of Huntsville. Stan McDonald, a 30-year veteran in the practice of law, is the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue, and he's an OG Right Side ruffian from way on back. But yeah, we'll talk with about Stan a little bit more in a few minutes after I finish up the Right Side Way. All right, well, we are entering into Memorial Day weekend. We are. And I want to stress how important it is that we always remember and never forget. Now, it may sound like those words are synonymous, but they really aren't. I say it that way, always remember and never forget, because, well, I mean, to always remember implies that something from the back of the mind needs to be brought forward. To always remember is an intentional thing. You do it on purpose. You bring it up because you mean to. And to never forget, well, that means we don't let it go. To never forget means that we're holding on to it. We're holding on to something. It's special. It will be with us. And this weekend is designed to be a time of memory. It's a time when we do both those things, that we always remember and we never forget. And we memorialize our fallen and we give them honor, acknowledging their sacrifice. And we ensure that as individuals, as communities, as states, as a nation, that we will endeavor to always remember, to bring those honorable sacrifices to the front of our minds, and to never forget and determine as a people that we will not let go of the understanding that we are made free by those sacrifices. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to go to a funeral at Arlington Cemetery. I have. It's humbling. If you've never been to Arlington Cemetery, you really ought to make it a point to do so. I mean, the fields of perfectly spaced white headstones in perfectly manicured grounds interspersed with occasional tombs and trees. It's everything that a deceased military member should have to honor their passing. The funeral that I actually attended was a Special Forces soldier. I was at the Pentagon at the time, working in the Special Operations Office for the Army staff, and we were called on to please put on our dress uniforms and go to Arlington. And the flag-draped casket was moved to the gravesite by a horse-drawn caisson, and the family was gathered, and a firing party delivered the rifle volley, and a bugler just off in the near distance played taps. And the casket team folded up that flag with precision, and on behalf of a grateful nation, the folded flag was presented to the next of kin. It sort of seemed like a holy moment, like speaking above a whisper would have been disrespectful. But equally pressing, and something I've also been a part of, is the ceremony that is held by troops at the field of battle when they've lost one of their own. And yeah, I've been there too. And it sticks with you. I'll never forget having a friendly conversation with a young cavalry first lieutenant named Eric McRae. What a great guy. We sat next to each other on the FOB in central Baghdad, shooting the breeze in early June of 2004 during a down moment. I asked him about himself, where he was from, what he did back home. He was a good kid from Oregon who had married his young sweetheart just a couple of weeks before he deployed. All-American boy next door kind of guy, just 25 years old that day in Baghdad. And the very next day after our visit, he was gone. On June 4th, 2004, just a little over a week from now, will mark 21 years to the day that Eric McRae and two of his men, Specialists Justin Ireley and Justin Linden, part of my battalion, were killed in a coordinated attack in central Baghdad by a combination of IED strikes and small arms fire. As his patrol of gun trucks was hit by the first IED, First Lieutenant McRae jumped out of his own up-armored Humvee. He gave immediate directions to his platoon, and he ran forward to Ireley and Linden, whose vehicle had been hit by the explosion. And that's when the enemy detonated their secondary explosion and then kicked off the firefight with small arms and RPGs. And we lost all three men that day. And days later, we had the ceremony at FOB Volunteer. And it was marked by their boots sitting up on a pedestal side by side, in front of their rifles with bayonets fixed and pointed down, their dog tags hanging from the pistol grips, with their helmets, or in McRae's case, his cavalry Stetson, sitting on top. And we honored them. And we honored who they were, but we also honored and remembered what they did and why they did it. You see, honor can be coupled with memorial. It is a reasonable combination of things. Honor and memorial, especially given the sacrifices that they made. Sacrifices that we built this nation on. And it's been 21 years since then, but I plan to always remember and never forget. Arlington and other cemeteries throughout America are where the accounts are kept. They are where we keep the ledger of what it takes to be a free nation. Freedom is not something to be taken lightly. Freedom is far too often just that somewhat esoteric thing that seems nebulous or ethereal, but you can almost touch it, but not quite. But the day that you don't have it, you are suddenly keenly aware of it. It's too easily taken for granted. It's too easily forgotten, but it is never easily gained. It is never easily gained. Freedom, in fact, is the most expensive commodity known to man. More than any precious metal or earthly possession. Freedom is that thing that should equal, like for our existence, should be equal to air and water and food as one of the essentials of life. And it's costly. It's costly because it's paid for by the blood and the sweat and the labor of men and women. And constantly refreshed and then kept viable by nearly every generation. Every generation has to fight to maintain freedom. I asked my father once if he ever thought that I would go to war. I was a young lieutenant. We're riding down the road together. I'll never forget. I asked him, I said, "Do you think I'll ever wind up going to war?" And my combat veteran father looked at me and said, "Son, there's never been an American generation without a war. It's just a fact." And this Memorial Day, it is important that we pause in the midst of our time off and cooking hot dogs on the grill, playing golf and hanging out at the lake, or just enjoying a day away from our usual routines, and we take stock of the reason why the day exists and those it was designed to honor. What we now call Memorial Day was originally known as Decoration Day. It became officially acknowledged as an event in May of 1868 to honor the war dead from the Civil War. General John Logan proclaimed it in his General Order No. 11. He said, "The 30th of May, 1868 is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion and whose bodies now lie in almost every city and village and hamlet churchyard in the land." And on that first Decoration Day, they called it, 5,000 participants decorated the graves of thousands of soldiers at Arlington Cemetery. Then Congressman and future President James Garfield gave a speech to the crowd that day, and he said this. He said, "I am oppressed with a sense of the impropriety of uttering words on this occasion." He said, "If silence is ever golden, it must be here, beside the graves of 15,000 men whose lives were more significant than speech and whose death was a poem, the music of which could never be sung." Well, it grew from there. In the early 1900s, the graves of World War I veterans were added to the Day of Decoration, and with each war that America has had, with the cost of freedom being refinanced over and over again, more and more graves became a part of the solemn celebration. And in 1971, Congress passed the National Holiday Act, and the last day of May officially became Memorial Day. Ronald Reagan gave a speech at Arlington Cemetery on Memorial Day in 1982, and he said this. He said, quote, "The United States and the freedom for which it stands, the freedom for which they died, must endure and prosper." Reagan said, "Their lives remind us that freedom is not bought cheaply. It has a cost. It imposes a burden. And just as they whom we commemorate were willing to sacrifice, so too must we, in a less final, less heroic way, be willing to give of ourselves." Well, so my hope is this. My hope is that this weekend you will have a wonderful time with your family and friends, perhaps get a little extra rest, sleep a little better than usual, a little later maybe, eat some hot dogs, have a beer. But somewhere in there, I ask that you take a second, pause, and remember why you have that day. And then tell your kids and your grandkids that even if you don't have a military connection in your own life, it does not mean for a second you cannot appreciate the freedom, the actual freedom that you enjoy here in the greatest nation on the earth. And then remind yourself and those you're with that freedom is not free. And that men and women have gone before us to ensure that freedom remains dynamic and not static. And if you serve yourself, then remember your brothers in arms who served with you. And for those who didn't come home, do them the honor of being intentional to always remember and never forget. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.